Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC.
Did our internet go out right when I said I'm Troy? Oh, that's terrible.
You're frozen, yes.
MC, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, no, my friend.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Oh, I could hear you the whole time, but you're frozen.
So anyway, I'm Troy.
And I'm MC.
This is the best animated shows ever so far, where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever, eventually. And there's no Rob here today. That's on me for being terrible at remembering to invite people. See, here's the thing, friends. MC and I just have, like, a standing date for this show, where it's, like, Saturday morning. He, like, groggily yells at his TV about how he'd rather be asleep than talking to me. And I groggily roll out of bed and yell at my TV about how I'd rather be asleep than talking to MC. And then we get together and talk, and it's a load of fun. We're both like, oh, never mind, that was worth it. It's all good. But trying to have guests on with that format is difficult because I forget to tell them, because I forget that it's happening until I groggily wake up and go, oh, God, oh, no, I have to wake up. I have to have energy. I have to remember what happened in cartoons. Oh, no.
And I'm like, I want to go to bed,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if we're going to have guests on or not, so I don't message them.
There's probably a solution to this, some sort of a chart where you could write down what happens on different days, but somebody else will have to invent that because there's no way I could come up with an idea. MC, I didn't plan any background information for Silver Surfer Episode 3. That's on me, also. But I want to talk about something completely unrelated. Have you played Transformers Devastation?
No, I don't think I have, but... Oh, maybe? Is it a PlayStation 2 game?
No, I believe it was originally PlayStation 3 and 360 era, and then it got re-released for PS4 and Xbox One. It is super good. It's just like a third-person character action game where you play as big robots, punch another big robots real good, and in the middle of the fight, like, you'll be like, punch, punch, punch to do a combo, and then it'll pop up and be like, transform, and you push the button and you'll just turn into a car and you'll uppercut them with your car body, and then you turn back into a regular robot and you punch them some more, and then it'll be like, transform, and you transform into a car and you do like a little spin move and hit them with your trunk, and it's great. It's super fun, and it's all based on the original Transformers. None of this new Michael Bay stuff. It is like G1 Transformers, and it's just, it looks great. It's all cel-shaded. That's what reminded me of it, is rewatching Silver Surfer today. I was like, the Transformers game just looks like this cartoon because it's all just cel-shaded computer graphics. So, hey everyone, if you're listening to this show, you like cartoons, you should check out Transformers Devastation because it's not a perfect game, but if you like cartoons, it's worth it. Oh my gosh, did I wake you up? I totally forgot you were sleeping. Sorry, I will move over to the bonus room. Sorry. I forgot my sister was here. Oh no. Okay. Give me a second.
Okay. Oh, wait. We're doing the opening? This is the end of the opening?
I guess, yeah, we can say after these messages.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. Scott here with my good pal, Rich. Say hi, Rich.
Hi.
And we're here today to tell you about a podcast we host together with our buddies Jay and Bill, the RPG After Years.
The after what?
The RPG After Years. Our show has entered into a new era of covering everything RPGs, both old and new. Thus, it is after its first era. It's the After Years.
I thought RPG was rocket-propelled grenade.
No, RPG stands for role-playing game. It's a genre of video game. Every week, we go through the latest news and discuss other relevant RPG-related topics. We also review RPGs as we complete them.
So an RPG is not a rabid Portuguese goose?
No, thank God. From Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy to The Witcher and Cyberpunk, we've got RPGs covered from the dawn of time to the far-flung future.
Oh, I've heard of Final Fantasy.
I'd hope so. So check us out on iTunes or whatever your preferred podcast listening platform happens to be. You can also find us at probablywork.com. Level up your podcast feed with the RPG After Years.
Enjoy the show.
We've set up new ways that our listeners can interact with us. So Twitter and Instagram have been there for a while. We've got an email account. All of that's basesfcast. The email's at basesfcast@gmail.com. But now there's a Facebook page. So you can go to facebook.com/basesfcast and you can find the page for the show. And then there's also on that page, there's a button that says join group. We'll probably watch the group more than the page. To get to the group, you do have to know what one of our names are, which if you don't at this point, I'm a little hurt. We also have a YouTube account. If you search BaseSFcast on YouTube, then you'll find the episodes, but on YouTube. I was going to say, but in video format, but it's not really in video format because we don't record our faces. I guess we do record our faces. We're not putting up videos. Anyway, search BaseSFcast on YouTube. And then the final thing is, MC, you want to tell them about the voice messages?
Oh, yeah, that's right. On Anchor, you can actually go onto our podcast and it's a button. It's
yeah.
Just a button that they can press.
It's just a button. It says send voice message.
And you click on that and you can record a little voice message for us. In fact, what we really are looking for is for people to drop in their opinion on the show that we're currently watching. And we will drop a few of those into episode 3.
Yep.
Probably right before we rank the show.
Yeah, I think that's the place to do it. It's kind of as we're wrapping up our thoughts on the show, then we can get a little bit of your thoughts on the show. And the page for that is just anchor.fm/basesfcast. Just whatever website you're on, put basesfcast at the end of it. Unless it's an adult website. Don't do that.
I mean. And we're back.
We are back to talk about Silver Surfer, not Transformers. It was totally off topic. It's just I just played that game, so it was on my mind, you know? I had Transformers on my brain. I didn't play the Silver Surfer game. I think I'm going to try and play it before we get to our mail section for this. Behind the curtains, everybody, we record the mail section way later than this. So while we do love hearing about what you think about the shows, it doesn't actually factor into our ranking. But that's good, because this is our ranking, but we want to hear what your ranking is. So be sure to let us know. Not about Silver Surfer, because when you're hearing this, then it's already done. But when we're recording it, it's not done yet. So I'm asking you, in the past of the future, to call in and tell us what you think about Silver Surfer.
Yes, especially if you go on to Anchor.
Yeah.
And you can actually record a voice message and we can actually include it in the show.
Yeah, you just go to anchor.fm/basesfcast. But again, when you're hearing this, it's too late. So you need to do it before you hear this. But you can do it for the next show and you'll find out what that is at the end of the episode. What are
Correct.
We doing, MC? Okay, I'm going to summarize this episode in 2 sentences. You ready?
Yep.
Galactus comes to Earth. Silver Surfer GTFOs.
Pretty much, yeah. Galactus shows up, he starts eating Earth, and well, the Silver Surfer, he has flashes of his memory. He has his memories back, essentially. And he starts trying to save people in the Earth because he's being tricked by Galactus.
Mm-hmm. He, like, has, like, first he sees some planes, and he's like, oh, look at these ancient flying machines. Is it possible that these creatures don't know how to leave their planet? And then he's like, not leave their planet. Oh no! And then he has like a crazy flashback about Zenla, and then he sees a girl in a bikini, and he's like, "Look at that girl in the bikini! She has breasts that I can see, breasts that I can see! Oh no!" And then he has a crazy flashback about his girlfriend, and then he's like, "Oh wait, I'm not supposed to be evil and helping Galactus eat planets. I'm supposed to be a nice guy," and that's how he gets his memories back.
Yeah, essentially, that's pretty much the whole episode.
I literally had to rewind it to be like, what triggered his flashback there? And it's like, oh, he saw a girl. That's what triggered his flashback. He saw a girl and was like, oh, my darling Shalaba. And then flashback.
Well, yeah. So, at the beginning of the episode, we get the Watcher and he's essentially talking about Shenla. Wisdom, hope of the universe, and Galactus showing up, and like the whole deal. And it's like, yeah, we already know this. We just watched the last two episodes. Yeah. It is like so long. And then it talks all about the Silver Surfer and what's happened in the last couple of episodes.
And it's great because it's like the Silver Surfer was a nice guy. Then he was a mean guy. Then he got his memories back and was a nice guy again. But then he forgot his memories. He's kind of a mean guy again. And it's like, boy, he's really ping-ponged a lot in two episodes, huh? I bet he doesn't do it again. Oh, wait, he does it again.
Yep. And yeah, pretty much it was just like, the whole time, Galactus is being a super dick.
MC, a cosmic dick? Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're correct. It is a cosmic dick. He is being a cosmic dick. Because Galactus just sort of laughs off everything the Silver Surfer says. He's like, we made a deal. I gave you this power. I made you, essentially. And this is your job. You're supposed to hunt down these planets, and I eat them for my survival. And then, because the Silver Surfer's bugging him, Galactus is just like, get out of here, and zaps him with something.
That's basically what happens, is he's like, we can no longer trust each other, and I could destroy you with my infinite cosmic power, because that's totally something I'm capable of. But instead, just, you can go, it's cool. And Silver Surfer's like, oh, are you going to turn me human again? And he's like, no, I'm going to give you all of your cosmic powers because people really dislike you for it.
That's the end of the episode. I'm talking about right at the beginning of the episode.
Oh, yeah, he does it there too. It's just...
Yeah. It's really weird. It's just like, zap, and he's down on the planet, and then he goes, saves a girl.
Yeah. He saves Frankie Ray.
Frankie Ray? Well, I'm super cool and from New Jersey. What do you know?
Yeah.
I thought this was in California until Frankie Ray started talking. And I was like,
oh, yeah,
this better be New Jersey with her having that accent.
So essentially, after Silver Surfer gets zapped down onto the planet, we get like a little cut of like the lizard people from the last episode.
Oh, yeah. Look at them. They're hanging out trying to find a new place to live.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, it can't be this solar system. It doesn't have the resources for the advanced technology we need. And then it just cuts back to Silver Surfer on Earth. It's just like, takes you out of the action completely.
Yeah, it's weird intercut. I like it for the serialization of it. I like that it's showing that this is an ongoing story, but it does seem weird that it's basically just like, hey, remember, there's refugees from all the planets that Galactus has destroyed, which I guess is a good thing to remember.
You know where this would have been better put in? At the end, when the Silver Surfer and Galactus have their second fight, and Galactus is like, fine, you can go off.
Oh, and if like that's where Silver Surfer popped to, if he like went through his wormhole and was like, oh, my dragon alien lizard friends, hello, and they're like, there's that fucker who tried to kill us, and then they start shooting him and stuff.
No. Like, he goes back to Shenla. He can't. It disappears, and then at the end of the episode, it actually shows like this refugee convoy, and it's like, okay, where are they?
And that kind of gives him a purpose then, potentially.
Yeah.
So you could be like, oh man, I should help these people. Can we skip to the end and talk about Zen Law real quick?
Oh, well, I guess.
We'll circle back. We'll circle back and talk about Frankie Ray and her dumb roller skates. How much of a Silver Surfer fan is Stephen Moffat? Because the plot of this series is the plot of season 8 of Doctor Who? Yeah, because season 7 ends with the reveal of John Hurt, the War Doctor, and then you have the 50th anniversary special where you find out that Gallifrey wasn't destroyed, and it's just locked somewhere in an alternate time bubble, and then the Doctor's like, I have a purpose now, my purpose is to find Gallifrey, and that's what this show is like, it's literally like Zen Law has been lost in the cosmos in an alternate dimension, just like Gallifrey.
Yeah.
Which happens to Gallifrey all the time. Do you think it happens to Zen Law all the time, too?
No, only when he shows up, because he can't get back home.
I was unclear about that. Is he, like, cursed that whenever he shows up to Zen Law, it's going to disappear, or is it just this one time?
I'm not sure, because it's not really said. It's just like, he's like, oh, I said you could go free. I didn't say you could go home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Galactus saying that to Norm Rand.
And then the Watcher shows up, and Norm Rand's like, where's my planet? And the Watcher's like, I don't know, man. I wasn't looking. I was looking over there. I know I'm called the Watcher, but, you know, I was looking over there, and then it was like Galactus played three-card Monty with some planets, and I was watching that planet, and then this planet disappeared. I don't know where it went, man.
Oh, well, anyway, circling back to, like, midway through the episode, Silver Surfer washes up on a beach.
Mm-hmm.
And his surfboard's in the surf.
Well, that's where it should be.
Yeah. And when he calls it back, he gets attacked by the Navy and Air Force, I guess?
Well, they're clearly an alien. Look at you. You're a man made of silver flying around on a flying surfboard.
Yeah, and then his memories start haunting him.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the entrance of Frankie is now? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's already... So his memories are, like, slowly coming back, but he's already, like... Hey, y'all should probably go. So he's trying to save the people already, even though he doesn't fully remember what's going on. And then, yeah, he falls on the beach and he's like, I seem to be developing a habit of falling out of this planet's sky. And she's like, have you thought about entering a 12-step program for that, you dingus? Because she's from New Jersey. And he's like, no. And then that's when he sees a girl in a swimsuit and remembers his girlfriend.
Well, yeah, it's really weird because he hits Frankie and her friend when falling out of the sky. And
that's an important distinction there. It sounded like the way you told it, I'm like, did I miss where he just backhanded two teenage girls? What?
No, he like, fell out of the sky.
He fell out of the sky and hit them. What you said is he hits Frankie and her friend, and then you paused, and I was like, he did? I don't remember that part. What a meanie.
Well... As he's, because it's the second time he falls out of the sky. It's just hilarious. He falls into them and somehow knocks them from the sidewalk into the middle of the beach.
Right. He hit them hard, but don't worry, they're fine.
Yeah. And then one of the big tubes comes down and lands. And this is sort of where you get a perspective, because you're barely seeing, like, one of the edges of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, like, tiny, and then Silver Surfer flies towards the screen, and it's just, like, the tube's massive.
Yeah, it's real big, and it causes a big old tidal wave. So Silver Surfer flies out and starts, like, trying to poke the tube with cosmic power, which doesn't really do much. Meanwhile, Frankie and her friend are like, we gotta get to higher ground, we gotta run away, oh no, we gotta find some way to get way high up in the sky as if we were floating in a hot air balloon! And then a hot air balloon shows up.
Well, I mean, you forgot about the bit where he starts having flashbacks and he drops the girls, essentially, off on the beach before he falls out of the sky again. he's like,
he does a lot of falling.
Yeah. No, it in this bit, it's like he comes down for a landing on the beach and he puts the girls down and he's having all these memory flashes and he's like down on his hands and knees on his board at this point. And it's like, oh, he didn't fall out of the sky this time, I guess. So that's a good thing. And then he's like, Shalabar!
Shalabar! My beloved Shalabar! Frankie finds a hot air balloon because we find out later that she has a crazy mutant power that lets her find what she's looking for, even if that means teleporting her into space.
Well, I mean, you completely skipped over the bit that is a plot point to what happens to Frankie at the end, which is the Silver Surfer has to heal her.
Okay. I don't know how this is a plot point at the end. I must have missed something. Please elaborate.
Because he exposes her to the cosmic
power. So that activated her mutant gene.
Yeah.
Because Galactus says something about, like, because of the... Okay. So she had this weird genetic twerk. Twerk? Tweak?
Yeah. But quirk. Because
quirk
he...
is the word I was looking for. Quirk. Sorry, quirk.
And the Silver Surfer heals her because her friend's, like, going off on the Silver Surfer about attacking the planet and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And he's, like... He just simply ignores her and then heals Frankie and then goes up to attack the tubes. It's ridiculous. Like, nothing works, and then he has to recharge, but he gets captured by Galactus in a force field, I guess.
Yeah, he just puts him in, like, a bubble, and you're like, oh man, the Silver Surfer's got it. But then he, like... While he's in Galactus's bubble, he's able to call forth a solar flare to recharge or something. And then he keeps zapping the Galactus some more. And it still's not doing anything. Galactus is like, ha ha ha, you're pitiful, but I respect
you. He's literally hitting
you.
Him in the face. He's
and,
literally
and
hitting
Galactus
him in the face.
Care.
Yeah, he does not care.
But ultimately, this is where then Galactus is like, listen, piss off. And I'm sick of you. You're such a pain in my butt. Like, you're super good at finding planets, but God, you're the worst. And so he sends him off on his own.
Yeah, and at the same time, Frankie and her friend with some of the other survivors are in a hot air balloon. And this is where Frankie's, like, I guess, quirk of, like, being in the right place at the right time comes up. Or being able to find whatever she needs, right. I guess. It's something like that. And she sort of teleports herself up to Galactus's ship.
Yeah, just by being like, she's like, wherever the fight is, that's where I want to be. I want to kick some alien butt. But I think that the hot air balloon, even being there, was her quirk. I think she manifested that hot air balloon, too. And then after that, it comes up again where she wants to be where the fight is, and just zap, she's on Galactus's ship, and she's like, look at me. First I was in a hot air balloon, now I'm in the middle of nowhere. Or am I? And I'm like, how do you transport yourself into the middle of a freaking alien spaceship and call it the middle of nowhere? That's not where you are. Like, that line doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and then it cuts back to the Silver Surfer, and you, it's like, for your bravery and whatnot, and Galactus is going on about how his whole existence is just about survival, and he...
Yeah.
He's
like, ever since time immemorial, my purpose has been to survive, and you helped with that, but my purpose is not to put up with annoying little brats who remember their morality.
And he's like, You have demonstrated strength and courage, and for that, I'm going to spare this planet for you. Peace!
Which doesn't make any sense. First of all, Galactus is not the sparer of worlds, he's destroyer of worlds. But second of all, as Rob pointed out when we saw Zen Law getting attacked, this planet's messed up. Like, their tectonic plates are busted. Earth is destroyed in this episode. And I'll tell you, MC, We never come back to Earth in this series. I think Earth was actually destroyed. I think, kapoof, it's gone.
Yeah, essentially Galactus has a big speech here, and he's like, go away. You can keep the power cosmic. It's not a gift. It's not a gift. It's a curse. Everyone who you ever helped me destroy will know you for who you are. Later. you can go now. Bye. And
You know, I think you're right. This would have been a good spot for those refugees to show up and to have a reaction shot where, like, because Galactus is like, you get to keep, like, unlimited cosmic power, but it's really gonna suck. And I'm watching this like, is it though? That doesn't seem that bad. And if you had an example of it sucking, it would probably be helpful.
Yeah, that, like, if it, that's what I'm saying. Like, if right there was where that clip from earlier, like, right at the beginning of the episode, essentially, played, and then we cut back. Because that's where the Silver Surfer goes off to find Zenlar.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the Silver Surfer goes off, Frankie shows up. And this is where Frankie and Galactus have an interaction. And Frankie gets turned into a herald for Galactus. Much like the Silver Surfer, but she's all fiery.
Her name's Nova.
Yeah.
And he's excited. Galactus is pumped about her because he's like, you can find anything you want. That's a super cool ability for the person who I need to find new planets.
Yeah.
And then
there's a great line here, because Frankie uses a human saying out of the frying pan into the fire. And Galactus says, I do not know what a frying pan is.
But I can give you the power of fire.
Yeah.
That's not a great line, MC. That's a dumb line.
You know, it's a great line for how cheesy it is.
I wondered if maybe Galactus knew what a frying pan was, he could cook himself up like some scrambled eggs, and maybe he wouldn't need to eat planets.
Oh, yeah.
Because doesn't cooking, like, release more energy than eating raw food? Like, so if he cooked his food, then maybe he would only need to eat, like, 75% of a planet instead of a whole planet. I don't know how that works. And then the episode ends with the Watcher saying, my duty brings me great joy and great sorrow, which is the same thing he said in the intro at the beginning, which is a very nice bookend.
Yeah. Because Zenlar is off somewhere and Galactus is a dick.
Cosmic dick.
Yeah, cosmic dick. That's a big takeaway from this episode. Galactus, the giant cosmic dick.
And with that, it's time for best and worst. Worst first. I'm going to go first, MC. My worst thing about this episode. I already had this written down as my worst thing for this episode. And then this morning I was rewatching it before we started recording. And my wife came out and was sitting with me. And she's like, what is this? And I was like, Silver Surfer, Marvel cartoon, 90s. She's like, oh, okay. And she's watching it. And Frankie Ray's like, boy, I show him from New Jersey, aren't I? And my wife is like, this show sucks. And I was like, well, it's actually really good, but Frankie Ray is awful. So my worst thing is Frankie Ray. I can't stand her. I think that the performance of Frankie Ray feels like it's from an entirely different show than everything else in this show.
I can agree with that. I'm going to say the worst thing is probably the sequence of events happening. I think they could have put things in a different sequence and the show could have really kicked a lot better. Like, it could have really, just a few scenes switched around. It would have been way better, I think.
I think that's fair. How about your best?
I really like, when he gets back to Zenlar, mm-hmm. and it disappears. And the Silver Surfer is like, okay, I can't get back home. What am I going to do? And he decides he wants to go out and help people in the universe. It's like...
A good mission statement.
Yeah. It is where he's like, okay, now this is my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I really like a character, like, finding their way to something.
And it let us have season 8 of Doctor Who all those years later, because Stephen Moffat watched the show as a kid and was like, I'm going to borrow that. My best thing is that this is the only episode that takes place on Earth. I watched the rest of the series. The rest of the series is very good. It's very easy watch. It has a rocking cliffhanger ending, like a crazy cliffhanger ending. Do you want to know the cliffhanger ending?
No, I might go watch it. Okay. Oh, no, actually tell me anyway. I probably
Thanos destroys the universe.
All of it?
Thanos destroys the universe. That's the end of this show. And Silver Surfer has to figure out how to, like, reboot the universe, which also happened in Doctor Who, now that I think about it. Stephen Moffat, did you watch Silver Surfer as a kid? I was joking earlier, but now I'm suspicious.
Well, he wouldn't have been a kid. Well, it was the 90s.
That's
yeah.
true. Stephen Moffat is slightly older than us. Anyway, the fact that most of this show doesn't take place on Earth, I think is really cool. Like, we got to this episode and they were on Earth, and I was like, oh, okay, and then the rest of the show is going to be like him hanging out on Earth or hanging out with Earthlings. Like, I thought it was going to be a Doctor Who thing where, like, Earth was his home base and maybe Frankie Rue is going to be his companion. But instead, like, the rest of the show takes place in the cosmos, and I think that's really cool. That's my best thing. It's kind of nebulous because it's, like, actually kind of a critique of this episode. Whatever, I'm going with it. It's my best thing. And with that, it's time to go check if we've got mail. You've got mail. That's gonna be our cue now. No, it's not.
No.
Is it time for mail?
Mail.
Let's check the mail.
Mail.
MC.
Yeah.
We got some feedback about Silver Surfer from Reddit that I want to share. We also, I'll just let you know now, spoilers, we're going to have a very, very long voicemail message to listen to from Rob. Because since Rob couldn't join us, what he did is he went and recorded himself reading back through his notes for the episode, like a while after watching it, when he did not remember what his notes meant. And I thought about trying to edit those back into our episode, and that seemed like I'm like, this is way too much work. So instead, we're just gonna play all of Rob's thoughts here at the end. But first, let's talk about feedback that we got on Reddit. And if I was smart, I would have pulled this up before I started talking, but I didn't. So now I'm pulling it up now, and here it is. So, first comment we got is from Space Voodoo 1, who says that this was one of their favorite shows when they were a kid. They said the 90s were something of a magical era for Marvel cartoons, in my opinion, but Silver Surfer still stands out. It also stands out as the very first time I ever found myself getting viscerally angry at a show's creator. The cancellation of this cartoon after only one season, leaving us forever trapped in the cliffhanger that ends with Thanos literally destroying the universe, made me want to throw my television out the window. I literally stopped reading Marvel comics for years after that. Did you ever get a chance to go and watch the rest of the season?
I didn't get to watch the rest of the season.
It's just, it's crazy how the last episode ends. Like, it is the wildest cliffhanger I've ever seen a show end a season on, and then the show just ended. Goodbye, no more show.
Oh, weird. I've actually been watching other stuff this week.
Other what? What have you been watching?
I've been watching Bond movies.
Oh yeah, hey, we're doing James Bond for Podcasters Assemble season 3. Go to probablywork.com if you like James Bond. You can be part of the podcast, or you can listen to the podcast. Either way. Speaking of MC, at some point before... Yeah, yeah. At some point before the new movie comes out, we're going to have to do James Bond Jr. Like, I'm going to insist.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that in the chat, so...
I don't expect that it's good, no. But I feel like we have to.
Yeah, we're probably going to have to.
Another comment from Reddit here is from Cephalopod401 that says, love that show. It brings Jack Kirby and John Buscema's work artwork to vivid life. Surfer just drifting through the cosmos, pondering the meaning of existence, so lonely and isolated. How is this a kid's show?
Yeah, I gotta agree. How is this a kid's show? And it really is beautiful. Like,
mm-hmm.
A lot of the... it looks like it's just been lifted up out of the comic book a few of the times. Like,
yeah,
it just looks great.
Except for that one time when the Watcher was just a weird outline in the sky.
Oh,
that didn't look so great. Other than that.
Like, you knew who it was, and that's iconic from the comic books, but when you put it into motion, there's something about it that makes it look cheesy.
Or rather, a complete lack of motion.
Yeah.
Like, everything else is in motion, and then there's just a weird outline. And the last one I want to share here is from Norbit Was Right, who said they watched this when they were 6 years old, and this was their first introduction to their favorite character. It was pretty heady material for my six-year-old self, but it was also my first introduction to my favorite character. But they also said, I remember the premiere airing right after the series finale of Spider-Man the Animated Series, which... My memory of Spider-Man the Animated Series is that it's pretty friendly to kids. So the idea that they would like be like, all right, we're wrapping up Spider-Man. What are we going to do to keep the kids hooked? We'll show them Silver Surfer. Yeah, that it seems like a tough sell, but...
We might have found out why it got canceled.
Because it was not super great for kids, necessarily. Too much of a think piece. Too moody and atmospheric.
Exactly.
Guess that could be cool. Well, that's all we had that I want to share from Reddit here. The last thing before we get to Rob's voicemail is I did a Twitter poll. Let me pull that up. Oliver, don't bark at the Twitter poll. You don't get a vote. Dogs can't vote. Everybody knows this. My Twitter poll was, if you could possess one of Silver Surfer's galactic powers, which would it be and how would you use and or abuse it? And the options were needing no food, drink, or air, transmute the elements, heal others and yourself, or hurl cosmic bolts. We only got a couple replies here. I'll tell you that heal others and yourself won, which I think is good. I think that's, like, way to go, humanity.
I'm going
to
reveal now, I did vote for that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I did want to share here, though, from our friend Evan, Surajita. If I can transmute the elements, then I can just turn air into food and water inside of my stomach, as well as clot people's blood to heal them and create bolts. Plus, the whole turn anything into breathable air thing is nice. So I get everything in one power. And you know what? You know what, Evan? Even though you broke the game, that one didn't win. So, so there.
My one was mostly because I tend to run into a lot of things and get bruised. And... Yeah, I get little nicks and cuts all over my hands. I purposely didn't send you the picture of I cut my hand the other week.
Oh God, don't send me it. I don't want to see it. I love you, but I don't want to see it.
Yeah, it along my palm. I got caught on something at work, and I just have like this long scratch along my palm. But
oh no,
it. The way that it cut me, it was like there was little pools, and then it was shallow in places. So, yeah, I definitely would have liked to have healed it because of the placement of it. It's like right there, like right on my thumb.
That sounds awful. I hate it. Don't tell me. I don't like wounds.
No,
I hate this.
So, yeah, definitely healing myself and others is my superpower. Just because I would like to be like, yeah, no, I didn't just hurt myself.
No, I'm fine.
No, I'm fine.
Everything's fine.
Cool. With that, we will go ahead and toss it over to Rob with his notes on episode 3. Be sure to check out Rob's podcast, which is called And Sometimes Rob, or follow him on Twitter as @Knowby. That's Knowby. Thank you so much, Rob, for joining us for this. It was super fun having you on. And then we'll go rank the show after that.
Hey everyone, Rob here, your friendly neighborhood geek from the End Sometimes Rob podcast, here with my thoughts on part 3 of our Silver Surfer special, so the origin of the Silver Surfer part 3. And here's the way I'm going to do it, because I think it's going to be funnier. It has been weeks since I have watched this episode, but my original notes remain, so I'm going to read through my notes and try to figure out if I know what the hell I'm talking about. We start with a quote where I say, "Made a fateful covenant with the Despoiler." Sure, it's for kids. And what I'm talking about here is the writing on this show is so adult for a kid's cartoon. I think that was perhaps part of what led to its downfall, is it might have been just a little bit too cerebral. And I don't say that to put down kids or think that kids can't handle heady material, but using phrases like making a fateful covenant with the Despoiler, maybe using language that they don't actually know yet. I also have here that Galactus sure does laugh a lot. This is really not a thing we tend to see in the comic books. He's a very, you know, large galactic being that we can barely comprehend. But in this episode, like, he laughs a lot. And then he's like, "Go!" And he knocks the Silver Surfer unconscious and then laughs again. But, like, you sent the Silver Surfer out to, like, get you a planet. Why did you just knock him unconscious? And wasn't the whole thing that he had just found Earth? So what is the... We don't understand. Galactus is beyond us. That's the thing that we need to remember. Next, I just have Rollerblader Girls? As in, why? Why, when we're examining everything that's happening on the Earth, we're like, you know who we're going to focus on? Rollerblader Girls. Like, in the comic books, it's the Fantastic Four. We have some characters that we really... But no, that's fine. Rollerblader Girls. My next note is saying, trying to fly while carrying girls, having Nom flashbacks. Which, if I remember correctly, is the Silver Surfer is flying around, trying to save these couple people in this area while the whole place just gets wrecked. And he starts having his, you know, Vietnam. He's having his flashbacks to his old life. That's a bad thing. But the good thing is we find out that one of these women is a character named Frankie Ray, who is soon to be the next Herald of Galactus, known as Nova, not to be confused with the Richard Rider or Sam Alexander characters of Nova, the space centurion who's got the helmet and the human rocket Nova, different kind of Nova, and actually a love interest of both the Silver Surfer and Johnny Storm at different times in the comic books. Fun fact. Here I have in all caps, Giant Storm, and Frankie says they take a hot air balloon, followed by about 4 question marks. Frankie, what the hell do you think you're doing? What are you doing? Oh, it's a giant storm and the Earth is being destroyed. I know. Let's get in a hot air balloon. Again, Rollerblader Girls. I don't want to make a sweeping judgment about women who rollerblade, but this particular woman who rollerblades is stupid. followed by the girl in skates decides she needs to fight ? And it's one of these, like, I get it. You guys, I get it, okay? I get it. They're trying to set Frankie Ray up as this sort of fearless, I think, sort of punk rocker girl, but they're like, how do we do that? I know, inline skates, but we have to make sure she wears all of her safety gear because children are watching. But she's like, no, we need to do something. We need to fight. And it's like, you're a teenage girl in rollerblades. Inline skates, name brand recognition, whatever. We can call them rollerblades. Like, come on. Like, your first instinct was to get in a hot air balloon. Do we trust you to be defender of the planet? Probably not. Next, I have words. I have a swear word in here, but I'll try and be good. But I have words like repast and sake. Excuse me. I'm going to even have a problem saying it. Repast and sacrosanct. Sacrosanct? I don't even know how to properly pronounce this word. Like, I know what it means, right? But it's not a word, it's not common parlance. And again, they're using these super heady words. And then they have, like, this weird thing where they say that... Hold on, we'll get there. First, I have a note saying that I love that they used the Kirby Crackle when Frankie teleported. That's the thing where you see a lot of small dots. Love that. Love the Kirby Crackle. It is iconic, Marvel cosmic, and I'm really happy that it's there. And then I have leaves him free. So the Silver Surfer rebels against Galactus. Galactus decides he's going to let the Silver Surfer be free, but he calls it a punishment because people will hate him for having the power cosmic. This is where the comic fan in me comes out again. Your friendly neighborhood comic geek. In the comic books, his punishment is that the Silver Surfer is permanently trapped on planet Earth. An invisible field goes up, attuned solely to the power cosmic, and for years, the Silver Surfer is not allowed to leave the planet Earth. He is kept from the stars that are the only place he has ever found peace after having to leave his planet. He is kept from Shalabal and his home planet of Zen-La. He has this incredible cosmic power, but he can't really use it to its full effect because of how powerful it is and him being on Earth. Like, that's his punishment. It's like, okay, you want the planet? You got it. Peace. And Galactus pieces out and leaves the Silver Surfer trapped there. Not so in this cartoon because they still wanted him to do space stuff. So they're like, okay, so we need him to somehow get away from Galactus, but at the same time, for it to feel like a punishment. And so he's like, oh, well, here's the problem. Everyone is going to know that you're my ex, and everybody knows that once I've left, you're pretty much garbage. Like, he's the abusive ex-boyfriend. Like, oh, they're going to know that, like, you're my, what would you call it? My throwaways. Nobody wants my garbage, the thing that I don't have anymore. They're going to see you have the power cosmic. Yeah, you got Galactus stank on you. That's what the power cosmic is. No one's going to like you now. Except that he's like, I can rearrange molecules and heal people and travel faster than the speed of light and do all these amazing things. But no, people will dislike me just because legend has spread of those that wield the power cosmic. Okay, whatever. I think it feels a little weak. It doesn't... like, again, it's playing up to this, like, more philosophical idea, and I don't think that hits home as hard as it could. And at the same time, I don't think that the show should have taken place solely on the planet Earth, the way the early comic books did. Like, I get that. The Silver Surfer belongs in the stars. We need to see all these cool, crazy characters and universes and planets and alien species, and that's part of the joy of the character, while at the same time, he's hating himself for what he's done in the past and trying to figure out a way to make up for his past actions under the control of Galactus, right? Like, that's where he belongs. But you would think there would be something else then. And I don't know what it would be, because no matter what it would be against the comics, and I'd probably hate it anyway. So maybe it's kind of one of those lose-lose situations on there. Let's go back to Frankie, our rollerblading hot air balloon. I need to fight, but I'm still in my rollerblades. Frankie Ray has a gene that lets her find anything she wants. Let's let that sink in. I know it's comic books and it's suspension of disbelief, but like, she just sort of shows up because, and is like, oh, if I'm here, then I must need to be here. Again, you're almost to the level of like this Alan Moore level of like meta-textual, here's a character that fate, like unspoken, it's all below the surface, but fate actually has so much in store for this character, this human being from Earth who loves rollerblades and hot air ballooning in the middle of giant Earth-destroying storms, that like she's just always going to be right where she needs to be when she needs to be there. It's not a mutant power. Metahuman is a term that they use in the DC universe, not the Marvel universe. But she's not empowered in any way, shape, or form, except somehow it's a genetic thing. Like, her, was it because her parents had her by getting lucky? Huh? Anybody? Anybody? Because then she's really lucky, because then it's genetic. We're going to move on, because it's just kind of a dumb plot. And again, it's one of those, like, if you set it up to be like, oh, it turns out that Frankie Ray is the celestial Madonna who will bear the next god into the reality. That's a whole thing in Marvel Cosmic with a character known as Mantis, who is in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Excuse my phone. But it could turn into one of these, like, oh, she's actually this cosmically important person, and that's why. That would be interesting, but I feel like that's not what they're doing. They're just like, we need an excuse for why she just kind of happens to show up here. And they're like, well, we can't just say it was luck. It's because of her genes. Also, I wrote, I have no idea what a frying pan is. I have to assume that Galactus must say something about out of the frying pan and into the fire or something. Like, I don't know what that note is about. I have to assume that's what it is. And that he says something along those lines. And you're like, Galactus, you don't have a frying pan. Like, you don't make eggs in the morning. Come on, Galactus. The last note I have for this finale here, part 3 of The Origin of the Silver Surfer, is plot. Surfer journeys the cosmos, seeking his homeworld, while encountering and helping others, and maybe being hated because he's a formal herald, ? And I think that's me just sort of trying to succinctly wrap up, here's what we need to know going forward, is he doesn't really know where home is because Galactus moved it, which I love. This I love. I think that's such a cool idea. Like, oh yeah, you want to go home. Well, guess what? You're not going to find it. That's so much better than your punishment is that you get to keep all of the power that I gave you. Like, it'd be more of a punishment to be like, you have no power. You're stuck on Earth. Good luck getting home. But one of those, like, no, you know what? You go find your home planet. You go try and find it. Have fun. Guess what? It's not where you think it is, and I don't think you're ever going to find it. So you're just going to keep soaring forever because you refuse to help me. Like, that I dig. Like, that's super, you know, Machiavellian. Like, you win, but you lose. And I really dig that. So that's it. Like, it kind of makes me want to go back and rewatch the rest of the show. I've heard that it actually holds up, if only in the writing, if not the animation necessarily holding up throughout the whole thing. I know we get more of Thanos, the orgasmic Thanos, I'm sure. And I feel like maybe they even run into, like, Eternity and some of these other really big cosmic characters. So it's been years since I've watched this. I remember seeing it when it first came on TV as somebody who, like, has a lot of Silver Surfer toys on my shelf. I'm one of those people where, like, I pick 3 characters and I buy a bunch of toys of them. One of those characters is Silver Surfer. So I look forward to finishing this. And I want to thank you guys for letting me come. Hey, thank you for letting me come on this journey. I love comic books, and I love the Silver Surfer, and getting to play with you guys and talk about the Silver Surfer and the fateful covenant with the Despoiler that he made with words like repast and sacrosanct. I think I said it right that time. I'm proud of me. Kirby crackles forever. Bye, everybody.
MC... you and I, from the future, have just checked our voicemail and our mail and done all that stuff, which means there's only 2 things left for us to do. It's time to put this show on the big list. Which I always forget to have up in front of me before we start.
I have it up. I just...
Okay.
I'm okay. Having trouble.
Well, let's remind people where we're at. The big list so far is... this is our 20th series. The big list so far is... Batman the Animated Series, My Hero Academia, Dragon Ball, Gargoyles, X-Men, Attack on Titan, DuckTales, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Castlevania, Pokemon, Indigo League, Restaurant to Another World, Food Wars, Mob Psycho 100, Star Trek the Animated Series, Miraculous Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir, Dungeons and Dragons, SpongeBob SquarePants, Biker Mice from Mars, and at the bottom of the list, The Legend of Zelda. MC, I submit to you, this show is better than The Legend of Zelda.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Is it better than Biker Mice from Mars?
Biker... I think so. Yeah, definitely better than Biker Mice from Mars.
Is it better than SpongeBob SquarePants?
No, I don't think it's better than SpongeBob SquarePants.
Wow. That would put it in the number 18 slot on the list.
What do you think?
Let's see. This show has amazing visuals. Super cool visuals. I got to give it a lot of props for that. It is a cosmic story, which is really interesting. But it does have a little bit of a tonal disconnect where it seems like it's for kids, but it's using language and storytelling that's probably a little bit advanced for kids.
Yeah, that's what I got.
I'd probably put it above SpongeBob.
Above? I would probably
put it around Star Trek, personally. Yeah. Is it better than Mob Psycho 100 and Food Wars? I don't think so.
Okay, let's put it in the 15 slot. How about that?
Right under Star Trek, right above Miraculous?
Yeah.
I can roll with that. So that puts Silver Surfer in the number 15 slot, right below Star Trek The Animated Series, right above Miraculous, Tales of Ladybug, and Cat Noir. And MC, that means it's time to pick the next show we're going to watch for Series 21.
Yeah.
Do-do-do. Not Siri, I said series.
Oh, that was great.
Let's see. I'm going to put on MC right away. I'm going to put on Yu-Gi-Oh. That's what I'm going to do. Yeah. Stop me. That's my pick. That's Troy's pick, just for Troy.
You know what I'm going to pick?
What are you going to pick?
Sailor Moon.
Sailor Moon. From MC. You know what? I'm gonna pick let's keep it in the world of anime. Dragon Ball Z. Why not? Thomas suggested that one a while ago. Give me a fourth, MC. It can be something. I don't care. We don't have to pull from the list. Listeners, give us. That's just suggestions, MC. This is our show. We do whatever we want.
Yeah, I'm just. I think because I was watching it earlier, I want Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks. Definitely not anime, but I can roll with it.
It's definitely got, like, that sort of feel, but...
I guess it does have some anime influences in, like, the over-the-topness of it all. Yeah. All right, so MC's grabbing a die. We're going to roll between Yu-Gi-Oh!, Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball Z, and Mighty Ducks. MC, just to clarify, if Dragon Ball Z comes up, we're watching just regular Dragon Ball Z, right? We're ignoring Kai. We're going to pretend that show doesn't exist.
I'm pretty sure we are going to ignore that show.
That's just like the re-edit of the original one, which is probably better overall, but I don't think we can count it as its own show, and it seems like it would be disingenuous to count it in place of the original. There's the big old bag of dice. Here he goes. He's got a green D4 he's using today, friends.
Three.
Dragon Ball Z. Okay.
Why is it that you brought that up last week, and it does seem to be the case?
That it rolls threes consistently?
Oh, well, I roll threes consistently.
You know, because
I have changed the dice and method.
Looking at the list, that's okay. The first one we rolled was a three, and then a two, and then a three. And then a 2 and a 1 and a 4 and a 4 and a 1 and a 3. And then a 2 and a 4 and a 4 and a 3 and a 1 and a 3. And then
a 1 and a 3. So I don't I think it's pretty random. I don't think we've rolled 3s more. Dragon Ball Z MC. I think both of us probably have Toonami to thank for the fact that we know this one pretty well, right?
No, in Australia, it was on a little morning cartoon show called Cheese TV.
Oh. So here in the States, it was Toonami, which was on at nights. And I remember getting in trouble because I would be like, okay, Mom and Dad, I love you so much. Finished up my homework, had dinner, gonna go to bed now. And they'd be like, ah, look at our son, such a sweet child who follows all the rules. Good night, child. Look at you going to bed before your bedtime. And I was like, yep, that's me. And I'd go down to my room at like 8:45. My bedtime was 9. And I'd be like, yep, going to bed, super sleepy. Oh boy, I sure am tired. And then at 8:55, I'd creep back out of my room and go over to the TV and turn it on and watch Dragon Ball Z on Toonami because it was on after my bedtime and I would watch it anyway. And then sometimes my sister would tell on me and I'd get in trouble. One time, I was watching it, and she snuck up behind me with a disposable camera and took a picture with the disposable camera so that she could prove that I was up past my bedtime watching cartoons.
So here, it was on in the morning, and it was on at an earlier time, and mm-hmm. I would get up in the mornings, and I would watch it, and then it changed to be... Right before I left for school, it would be coming on. So, I had VHSs. Like, well, I would throw it in, and I would record. And mm-hmm. then I'd fast forward through the episode. And I would put the tape back in the next morning. And then I would record another episode. And then I would take that tape, like... It would have like 3-4 days worth of Dragon Ball Z episodes, mm-hmm. and I would watch all of them at once.
Have you seen the whole series?
Yeah.
I would assume so. I have never seen the full series. I have seen up through the Cell Saga probably 3 or 4 times. I've seen up to where Boo becomes like skinny buff Boo twice, I think. But like, I've never seen the fusion dance on the show. Like, I know of the fusion dance, but I've never seen it happen. Somehow I just never get to the end.
So, I'm guessing the only time you've seen Goku and Vegeta fuse is with the earrings.
I don't remember if even that happened on the show.
Oh.
Where I was at. I legitimately can't remember. But where I've seen it, man, I played a lot of Dragon Ball Z video games back in the day. PS2 era. What was it? Dragon Ball Z Budokai? Is that what it was?
Yeah, Budokai.
That series was the bomb, and I played a lot of them. So I've seen all the fusion stuff there. I've seen the end of the series through the video games, but I've never actually seen it on the show. But anyway, we will get to all that next time when we talk about Dragon Ball Z. Season 1, Episode 1. This is the part, MC, where I'm supposed to have looked this up before I start this sentence. But I don't ever remember to do that. So instead, I have to just start the sentence. And then, just vamp, you know, just keep the sentence going while I look up what the name of Season 1, Episode 1 is. Which is called, of course, Mini Goku is an Overprotective Boy, I Am Gohan, or The Arrival of Raditz, the New Threat. We'll probably just call it The Arrival of Raditz, because that's a whole lot of title that this has going on.
Yeah.
So we'll be back with Dragon Ball Z. Until then.
Thanks for listening to The Best Animated Shows Ever, so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work
for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.